Hey, little buddies, it's Uncle Rick coming to you from the little house in the pasture where you can hear the birds sing, the cows moo, the horses neigh, and Uncle Rick talk to his little buddies. It is a beautiful, sunshiny winter day here at the little house in the pasture, and I wish you could be here. There's enough snow left that we could be out sledding down by the pond, or maybe hitching up Flip and Dixie and taking a ride on the bobsled around the farm. But since you can't be here, we will just enjoy reading a story together. This is a big fat book called Famous Frontiersmen and Heroes of the Border, written in 1913. Doesn't say which border, but I presume that just means the border of the civilized country and the uncivilized country during the time of American expansion across the entire continental United States. Well, it would soon be the United States anyway. You know what frontiersman means anyway? These were a group of intrepid individuals who dared to go where nobody they knew had ever gone before and open up the frontier of America in the early days for settlement. We will begin by reading a story about Daniel Morgan. And by the way, Daniel Morgan I've heard of before, but these famous frontiersmen, some of them aren't famous enough that I've heard of them. Maybe it's just what's lacking in my government school education from my childhood. But these will be enjoyable stories, lots of hair-raising adventures. So sit down, get comfy, get yourself a nice drink of lemonade or something. And let's read first about Daniel Morgan, the famous Virginian rifleman, and his adventures with the Indian Bear. Daniel Morgan was a famous Virginia rifleman. As a young man, he enlisted in the French and Indian War and joined an army under Colonel St. Clair, who, as you remember, no doubt, was so signally defeated by Little Turtle. The bravery of St. Clair sometimes amounted to rashness. His enemies have even accused him of indiscretion. At any rate, when he camped near the headwaters of the Mississippi on the plains of the Chippewa, he placed his men near a dense forest in which his red-skinned enemies could easily pick off his sentinels without exposing themselves in the least to danger from return fire. For 5 nights his army lay in this positioning, and for 5 nights a sentinel was posted near the gloomy borders of the forest. Alas, every man who had held the place was shot. This struck terror to the hearts of the soldiers, and when a sentinel was to be posted upon the 6th night, no one would come forward to take the position without a serious protest. That seems reasonable to me, does it not? St. Clair knew that it was only throwing away men's lives to place a sentinel in such an exposed situation, so he insisted upon no one occupying it. This pleased his followers mightily. "Colonel," said many, "you are a sensible man." Upon the evening of the 6th day, however, a rifleman from the Virginia Corps appeared before the colonel's tent. His name was Daniel Morgan. "Sir," he remarked, saluting, "I feel that I can take charge of this post. Put me there and see what I can do." St. Clair looked at him dubiously, that means doubtfully. "I think that you are rather rash," said he, "but you can have what you desire. Go, and good luck to you, my son." Soon afterwards, the new guard marched up. The scout fell in behind, shouldered his rifle, and went forward. "I'll return safely," said he as he followed the leading files, "and Colonel St. Clair, I will drink your health in the morning." The new guard marched on, arrived at the place which had been so fatal to the sentries, and here halted. Bidding his fellow soldiers good night, the sentry brought his gun to order arms and peered about him. The night was a dark one. Thick clouds overspread the heavens, and hardly a star was to be seen. Silence reigned, save for the beat of the retiring footsteps of the guard. The frontiersman paced slowly up and down, then stopped, for in the far distance came the cry of, "All is well." Seating himself upon a fallen tree, the soldier fell into a reverie. But hark, what was that? A low rustling sound came from out the bushes. He gazed intently towards the spot where the noise seemed to proceed, but he could see nothing but the impenetrable gloom of the forest. Nearer and nearer came the strange rustling, and a well-known grunt informed him that a large bear was approaching. Slowly the animal came on, then quietly sought the thicket to the left of his position. At this particular moment, the clouds drifted away from the face of the moon so that the soldier could plainly see the lumbering brute.